Let me tell you about the first time I met Martha Johnson. It was early 2009, and I just entered GSA as the White House liaison. And I thought, what a great chance. I'll get together with the woman that headed up the transition for GSA and learn more about the agency and hear what she's thinking. So I called Martha, set up lunch for Thursday. On Tuesday, the White House calls me and says the president's going to nominate Martha Johnson to be the next administrator of GSA. I'm thinking, this is great. She's fantastic. I'm having lunch with her on Thursday, and the White House, whoa, you can't tell her. We're not ready to announce this yet. Don't tell her that. So now I'm sitting across from Martha, meeting her, having lunch with her for the first time, and I'm listening to the wonderful ideas she's got for GSA, and all I want to do is tell her, you're going to be the next GSA administrator, and I can't do it. And what was so frustrating is that while I talked with her, I realized why President Obama chose Martha to lead GSA and why she was such a perfect choice. She's a former GSA chief of staff, and she knows the agency inside and out, good, bad, a little bit of the ugly, too. More recently, she played a pivotal role in the Obama-Biden presidential transition team, working as the GSA lead to evaluate the agency's opportunity to help drive the new administration's priorities. She's also been at the forefront and leading transformation in the private sector, from her days of total quality production at Cummins Engine to her most recent job as Vice President of Culture at the Computer Sciences Corporation, where she helped direct change in a corporate culture of over 90,000-person organization. But most importantly, Martha's an innovative leader who's already moved towards leveraging GSA's expertise to provide better solutions for our client agencies and their missions. By infusing her energy into GSA and by challenging the status quo, Martha's articulated a clear vision to transform GSA into a higher-performing, continuously improving, agile agency that can lead the way into building a more open, sustainable, and efficient government. And as GSA's White House liaison, I can also personally attest to her perseverance and dedication to service. It took over 10 months to get her through the Senate confirmation process, and when it was finally over and time to swear her in, the blizzards of 2010 hit, bring DCs to a halt, shuts down the federal government, and Martha can't get into the office to be sworn in until all the roads are plowed. But did she let this stop her and wait 4 or 5 days to get to work? No way. Not the U.S. Senate or a historic natural disaster could have kept her away from hitting the ground running at GSA. In the true spirit of innovation, Martha calls up and says, swear me in over the phone. And then she scheduled conference calls for later that day and got right to work. So we're thrilled to have her here and leading GSA, and more importantly, that she's here tonight to share her vision for GSA with all of us. Ladies and gentlemen, without further delay, please welcome GSA Administrator Martha Johnson.
Thank you, Michael, for that wonderful introduction. I am so happy to see many friends and colleagues, customers, and partners in one beautiful location. Welcome to Maryland. And I look forward this week to meeting those I don't know. In his welcome, Michael, before dinner, Michael spoke of the importance of public service. IRMCO is a special annual event dedicated to government leaders. It's among the rare opportunities we have to be together in one place, to share, to discuss, to debate, and to solve problems. My kids would call this sort of event swarming. And although we only do it occasionally, the truth is that in the new world that is upon us, this is the way we must work all the time, networking, sharing, and swarming. It's the new face of public sector leadership. But now that you are all here in person, let me bend your ear for a few minutes and talk about an organization, a mission, and a community of people that I am passionate about, namely the United States General Services Administration. Created by Harry S. Truman, GSA has been a central agency, one that offers you, our government customers, consolidated and centralized buying power, expertise, perspective, and policy. That seems like a valid notion, one that should sensibly persist over time, but that is where we all run into trouble. We can't ever assume that things should or could stay the same. And this is especially true for behemoths such as GSA. And so today, my remarks are going to be about a transformation at GSA, a transformation of GSA. To begin, I have started to call GSA the big engine that will. The transformation story starts this way. GSA's mission is to support its client agencies so that they can focus squarely on their core missions. Yet our customers need to fulfill their mission in today's world, not the world of yesterday or last November or 2 years ago, today's world. GSA obviously won't succeed if we aren't seizing change ourselves. Let me start with our new mission statement. Listen up, because you will hear some new language and new emphasis. GSA's mission is to use expertise to provide innovative solutions for our customers in support of their missions, and by so doing, foster an effective, sustainable, and transparent government for the American people. That's our mission statement. Let me put it this way. GSA is deliberately casting itself as the government's change agent. How cool is that? Our mission is pure and simple, to change government. We believe that steering innovation for our customer creates a Rube Goldberg effect. Our expertise powers innovation with our customers, which in turn strengthens their work, which helps them meet their mission goals, so that the government overall is smarter, more viable, more capable, and more open. This is both sensible and sensational. And this is what I came back into government to do. It's why I waited so long for this job. Stepping back into government has been a very important and exciting time, and I have noticed a couple of things. First, the federal workplace is clearly changing. The very meaning of the word workplace has changed. Today's thinking is that work is what you do, not where you are. As Michael was talking about, remember those little flurries we had in February that shut down the government? I'm from North Dakota, so I can call them little flurries. Nearly 60% of GSA employees were working remotely from computers at home during the blizzard of 2010. Work is what you do, not where you are. And as Michael was saying, since I couldn't get in to the office, I was actually sworn in as an administrator by the phone in our snow shoveling outfits, standing in my kitchen. Work is what you do, not where you are. So let me ask those of you in this room who are the feds, are you teleworking? Let me see a show of hands. Who regularly teleworks at least one day a week? Very good. How about those who telework occasionally? And that's not to count Saturdays, you know. For those of you who didn't raise their hands, why are you not teleworking? Are you in love with the 1980s for some reason? This is important. We need to know what is standing in the way. Is it technology or is it culture? Second, the workplace footprint is changing. Our carbon and geographic footprints are actually merging. To get a handle on this, we have started baselining. You are probably aware that the government is gathering information about carbon usage and greenhouse gases in our buildings and activities. That information will help us understand how to shape the government workplace going forward. Third, as the workplace is changing, so is the work itself. The government has to do a lot more with a lot less. And this requires a better head for thrift and better value propositions. Those buying for the government have to be smarter shoppers. Very important new piece of work. Information technologies have also exploded before our eyes. In the last month of the Clinton administration, we launched firstgov.gov, very big deal. Now I return to the Obama administration, in which the White House is committed to harnessing technologies to open and improve the effectiveness and efficiency of government, and to simplify and expand citizen access and engagement. In addition, the Clinger-Cohen Act re-tagged GSA as a non-mandatory supplier for goods, for many goods and services. I remember coming to GSA in the mid-90s when we had to learn how to spell marketing. As a result, GSA has developed more customer-facing solutions and more customer-facing competencies. Look at the volume on our schedules, which indicates the demand for a shopping process that is online and contains competitive information. The workplace is changing. The workplace footprint is changing. The work itself is changing. This will be good for government, for GSA, and for you and your agencies. So the question is, how will GSA fold into all of this as a change agent for our government customers? How can we help you move forward as the world shifts beneath our collective feet? How can we be the big engine that will? My way of thinking of this is rather simple, I have to confess. GSA has learned to play in the market. Clinger-Cohen gave us that hunting license. And after a dozen plus years of building market savvy and muscle, GSA now must decide if it wants to win. Do we want to win your trust, win your confidence, win your partnership, and win your business? Yes, 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 yes. If there's anything, there is a growth scenario in our future. GSA has grown from $35 to $65 billion in business volume since I left. $95 billion if you consider the volume that flows through on the credit cards. Now, imagine GSA doubling in size. What if we were at the $200 billion mark? We are currently about 13% of the federal spend. Why shouldn't we be handling 20% of this river of consumption? A mere handful of scenarios could jumpstart significant growth for GSA. It is legitimate to ask this question, how do we do it? And each of these scenarios, which I could dream up just on an envelope, so they're pretty self-evident, each would foretell, impel, and compel significant changes inside GSA. So let me run through a couple of these. The first is a mandate change. What if Congress pushes through aggressive cooperative purchasing and decides that GSA schedules should be open to state and local businesses? Imagine that scenario. Our volume discounts would be available to localities struggling with economic pressures. Our engagement with small business would be transformed. We could be providing them with vastly wider markets through more streamlined marketing and information flows. So that's one idea. A second scenario for growth could be market change. There are significant and specific pockets of market expansion where we could help. Think Veterans Administration or think healthcare information as just a couple. But the third scenario puts the question squarely to GSA. We could win more business, to put it baldly, if we step up our performance with you and for you. This is not a mandate. This is not a market change. This is in our hands. I believe GSA can do this. GSA has the will to be the big engine that will. If GSA ups its game, as my son would say, I am confident that GSA's business would grow and could easily grow to that $200 billion mark. Now, performance improvement is something we have been hacking at for years. How could you expect that GSA could double its business through performance improvement? Simple performance improvement. For me, there is really no mystery about this. It's pretty straightforward. In the business literature, and you can read it on the internet, there are three fundamental ways to improve performance: customer intimacy, innovation, and operational excellence, three. I'll start with the first, customers. Customers are our lifeblood. Supporting your mission is our mission. This demands a deep understanding and resonance with our customers. And coincidentally, the Obama administration has posed a challenge to GSA that we feel will galvanize our customer intimacy skills. That challenge is open government. And the heart of open government is transparency, which equates to customer intimacy. Think of it this way. GSA is the membrane between government and industry, between government and solutions. If that membrane is healthy, water and nutrients can pass through and the organisms will flourish. Transparency allows a better flow of water and nutrients, which we would know as data, information, and knowledge. Technology will help that. Technology solutions allow GSA to be that healthier membrane between industry and government. And to that end, my talented colleague, Dave McClure, is heading our Citizen Services Office. Dave has GSA in the vanguard of using technology to help agencies talk to and empower the public. That's transparency in action. By leveraging a single solution ideation tool, GSA gave 23 federal agencies a unified but customizable way to meet their open government mandates. And we did all the policy clearances for that lickety-split. Transparency in action. Our Federal Acquisition Services Better Buy project produced ideas for improving acquisitions by gathering feedback from the public and stakeholders using new media tools. Transparency in action. So that's customer intimacy. The second way to improve GSA's performance is through innovation. Our customers want cutting-edge solutions, not ones that were relevant in the 1990s, or even ones that are up to date. That's just not good enough. Innovation gives GSA torque as a change agent. Now, GSA has a tradition of innovation. We have design excellence. We have the creation of our schedules program. For those of you who remember, we had federal vehicles with seat belts before they were mandated. We were early adopters of the Internet. But innovation creates and demands risk, risk-taking. This is where GSA, as a consolidated, centralized agency, can really help industry and customers by leveraging and managing risk. That's our hands-down solid business proposition. First, GSA has business expertise, which can help the federal buyer better avoid those shopping mistakes. For example, agencies want to use free media and social networking tools. How was a federal buyer to do this within the rules and not make a stupid shopping mistake, which we all hate to do? GSA lifted that problem out of the laps of dozens of agencies. We negotiated 33 federal compatible terms of service with third-party providers. We just did it, and it worked. To date, there are 85 government YouTube channels, 80 government Facebook pages, and we're counting. GSA, we have the expertise, but we have something else. We also have broad shoulders. GSA can take on the risk because we have a large denominator across which to divide that risk. We have the reach across the country, across governments, across time zones, across environments, and across industry. For example, we can try green roof technologies in our federal buildings and courthouses across the country to see what works. We can try to put a plate in the road at the San Ysidro land port in California and see whether the trucks that bounce over that border really can generate enough electricity to run that border station. But let's be clear, taking risks also means that failure will occur. Remember the line in Apollo 13 when Ed Harris, playing the incomparable Gene Kranz, proclaims, "Failure is not an option." In our world, however, failure is not only an option, it is required. The trick is to fail fast, to learn from those mistakes, and to move forward. I am the first to admit that a significant cultural shift is required when it comes to risk, not only within GSA, but throughout government. GSA will have to stare down its own anxieties about risk. For me, this is about courage and leadership. I work for a president who has great courage and leadership. That is what is needed, and that is what we are here to do. I intend to stand tall with GSA as we learn, make mistakes, grow, flourish, and meet our mission. And thanks to the Obama administration, we have an arena to demonstrate our innovation muscles. Listen to this. If NASA had the moonshot and DARPA had the internet, GSA has two arenas for innovation. One is sustainability and the other is open government. As Commissioner Peck of our Public Building Service says, we can be the proving ground. So let me take you through that. Let's start with the sustainability side. I believe it is in our DNA. From historic restoration, preservation, and historic building reuse, to green government products and schedules on, and services on our schedules, sustainability is in our work plan going forward. We will drive data center consolidation. We will drive greener and more efficient and secure IT solutions. We will drive the development of a greenhouse gas tracking and management tool and provide it free to agencies. We will drive the greening of the supply chain. Sustainability will drive everything we do, exposing waste, recognizing full value and costs, cradle to cradle, and calling on us to be full citizens of the world and therefore transforming us as well. That's sustainability, one of the two innovation challenges from the Obama administration. Turning now to open government, if you've read the president's order on open government, there are three pieces to it: transparency, participation, and collaboration. Let me focus here on the collaboration piece, which I believe we should label collective intelligence. And let me tell you a little story here so I don't have to look at the teleprompter to tell it to you. Collective intelligence is the arena that I have been working in at the Computer Sciences Corporation just before I came into the administration. Very interesting things are going on. Over the last 10-15 years, we, of course, have exploded on the internet in our ability to share our ideas. We blog, we go on Amazon and rank products, we say everything we want to say on the internet, and everybody gets to read it. This is what one would call diverging sharing. In other words, it is a lot of stuff that goes up, and everybody comments in very, very long threads about topics. Sometimes we rank that. And, of course, we have these great social ranking tools now that indicate what is most popular, which book everyone likes, and so on. But this is only the tip of what's going on. This is the participation piece that is offered to us by the Internet. So we are now in a time when we understand about participation. We really do. Everybody's participating and putting their ideas up. What we need to move now to is collaboration. And that, for me, means that we are not just putting up a whole list of diverging ideas, but we are actually converging on solutions. There are hints and new techniques and some new tools by which we can organize the governance, the ranking, the conversation, so that we can actually converge on solutions. And that is the piece that is exciting to me and the piece that I got to play with at CSC. That is the piece that is going to be the inflection point that we're facing now. How do we not just collect people's ideas, but help the collective converge on solutions? You're going to see some of that at GSA, and I am eager to have that capacity built in the overall government. So, collective intelligence. We've talked about two of the three things that can transform GSA's performance. The first was customer intimacy, which can be boosted by transparency. The second was innovation, which can be boosted by sustainability and open government. Hang here with me. The third rail for growth at GSA is to boost our operational excellence. GSA is already a massive machine of get her done. But we can now step up to President Obama's challenge of a better government for the people. We can, and it will happen through the highly disciplined process called transformation. Transformation became a science launched by the total quality movement in the 1970s. It is rooted in what I call the pull metric. You'll have to bear with me here because I get to tell another story. In the 1970s, U.S. industry was faced with the fact that there was significant competition from the Japanese. This was mostly the automotive industry. It was because the Japanese understood total quality. I was at Cummins Engine Company in the 1980s, and it was at that time we needed to figure out how to bump up our performance. At that time, we were building diesel engines. My husband's here. He can tell an even more elaborate story about this because he was closer to the line. But basically, you'd take an engine block and you'd push it onto the line. You'd line set it, and then it would start going down the line, and you'd put the crankshaft and the camshaft and the fuel system and the turbocharger and put paint on it and ship it out the door. Maybe. But because you were shoving engines on at the front of the line, you were pushing the system, it wasn't quite coordinated. And, you know, halfway down the line, the engine wouldn't have the parts it needed, and it would be pushed to the side. And this happened over and over again. And soon there was inventory all over this plant, and it wasn't necessarily going out on the trucks. The simple notion that came with the quality revolution was the notion of pulling. The pull, I call it the pull metric, but it's the pulling system, not the pushing system. A customer identifies a need, the customer presents that need to you, and you basically ship the engine off the end of the line, and then you have an open slot. So you turn, and you take the next engine, and you pull it forward and do what you need to do with it. But if you turn, and it's not there, the engine is not there, you stop the line, everyone swarms and tries to figure out what the problem is, and you solve the problem. You don't just push engines away and create a whole lot of chaos around. You reverse engineer your process from the customer. You reverse engineer the process from the customer. When the customer needs it, it pulls your systems into better shape. It is a transformational notion. It sounds very simple, but it's a transformational notion in terms of how you go about organizing work. And this is not just about manufacturing and building products. It's similar in the services or in services organizations. That was a discipline that was inserted into the American economy starting in the 1970s, and that was the discipline of transformation. It was total quality. It became total safety. It morphed into some other things. That's the discipline that we need. And what is truly transformed? The processes, yes. The performance, yes. But most importantly, it is the people that are transformed. Transformation equals talent. And this is what is important to me as an educator, as a manager, and most importantly, as a steward of the federal worker and the federal workplace. I believe the people of GSA, all of GSA, including our acquisition, contracting, and project management cadre, can be transformed by such a pull process. They will change, we will change, and as a result, the new disciplines, the system, the culture, the processes, and the tools all can up our game. You see, it is you, our customers, that will pull us to reverse engineer our processes and also pull us to a new level of professionalism. I believe in the efficacy of work. That is my personal and my professional passion and philosophy. With great work, the great work of our domain, and the great work of responding to customers, the people of GSA can flourish. In closing, let me be clear. For GSA, our future is in winning with you and winning for you. We will win by delivering on your missions. We will win through our new harmonics with you. We will win through innovation, through technology, through shared risk, and through cultural and process transformation. We all win when GSA is healthy, when it's a healthy, vital membrane between industry and government. And now I have an ask of you. Be ever more clear about the needs and challenges you face. Do not hesitate to speak honestly about what we can do for you. Ask us for ranges of options. Ask us for solutions. I have placed several concepts on the table tonight. Use this special week here at IRMCO to share, discuss, and debate these concepts. This is the swarm. I'm here through Tuesday. Several of my colleagues are here for the duration. Let us know what you think and challenge us to be the big engine that will. Thank you very much.